The text for our lesson this evening will come from Micah chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. We'll look at a few of those verses and the points of our lesson tonight. If you have your Bible with you and would like to turn to that passage, Micah 3, verses 5 through 12 is our text, as indicated in the Family Matters. We're so delighted that you have chosen to be in a worship assembly to worship Jehovah God this evening. What a great blessing that is for us. The Bible student does find it somewhat interesting, I think, that when he reads and he studies and he sees this struggle going on all through the pages of the Scripture between good and evil, between right and wrong, and the enemy of what is right and good is identified as an adversary or Satan, the Bible student does find it somewhat unique, somewhat curious maybe, somewhat interesting maybe, that everything that God has provided for man's good, the enemy, the adversary, Satan, has in some way or another corrupted that thing. Even from the earliest times in the Garden of Eden, with the first man and woman created in this world, we see that that's the case in the temptation of Satan taking the form of the serpent and offering a temptation to Eve, to which she succumbs. Everything that God has provided for the good of man has been corrupted, has been perverted, has been counterfeited by Satan. And you can probably think of a lot of ways in which that's true as student of the Bible. And those counterfeit things really cause spiritual harm because they represent something that is false and deceitful and not good as God's original would be. God uses men to be spiritual leaders. God raised up prophets in the Old Testament. God raised up apostles in the New Testament, ministers of His to teach His word to people, elders, deacons, members of the body. And all of these things have been counterfeited and corrupted by Satan to confuse the onlooker, to create havoc and disarray for people who are looking to find the right way, the narrow truth, as we talked about in our lesson this morning. Satan raises up false, counterfeit leaders to lead people astray. And that's what Micah is talking about in this passage in the Old Testament. But even in the New Testament, we have such warnings as 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3, 2 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false prophets or false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies," Peter says, "even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, the second letter, in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15, "Such men are false apostles," he says, "deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." So two very, very strong admonitions in the pages of the New Testament to be careful and to be watching, because these conditions will be presented to you. Be on your guard. The text describes the false prophets and leaders of Micah's time in contrast to Micah as God's true spokesman and true prophet, though in the context of an age of miraculous inspiration. God gave him miraculously the words to speak to the people. What is said is really descriptive of religious leadership in our religious world. And so we can make a practical application of what's revealed for us in the pages of the Old Testament. What type of spiritual leaders cause people to err? Micah reveals that very clearly for us. In the first place, those who practice favoritism in verse 5 of Micah 3, thus says the Lord, concerning the prophets who lead my people astray, when they have something to bite with their teeth, they cry, peace. But against him who puts nothing in their mouths, they declare holy war. When their friends feed them, they say, peace. But when others do nothing for them, they declare that they're enemies. God is not a respecter of persons, and neither can his spokesman be. Paul to young Timothy in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 21, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 21, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and his chosen angels to maintain these principles without bias, doing nothing in a spirit of partiality. Those who practice favoritism cause people to err. Also, those who are hirelings. In verse 11 of Micah 3, her leaders pronounce judgment for a bribe. Her priests instruct for a price. And her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord, saying, Is not the Lord in our midst? Calamity will not come on us. God has provided that his spokesman be cared for and be provided for, their physical support to be provided for, in passages like 1 Corinthians 9, 4 through 14. In 1 Corinthians 9, 4 through 14, Paul raises the question, do we not have a right to eat and drink? Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife? Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense is a question that he raises. Who plants a vineyard and does not eat of the fruit of it? Who tends the flock and does not drink of the milk of the flock? He goes on to say, we've sown spiritual things. Is it too much if we reap material things from you? Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share of the altar? So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel get their living from the gospel. And Paul to the Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 6. Galatians 6 and verse 6, the one who is taught in the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. So that is a principle that is indeed authorized by the Lord. God has provided for support of his spokesman. But this must not be the reason for their speaking. This must not be the reason for their ministry. Mere hirelings have a different sense of responsibility and are basically concerned with salary and prestige and popularity. Jesus said in John 10, 12 and 13, Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, a passage that was alluded to when we gathered around the Lord's table to observe the Lord's Supper this morning. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. Many people in our day use religion to make money, and that's evident in our modern society. It does not need to be proved. Thirdly, what type of spiritual leaders cause people to err? Those who have no answer from God in verses 6 and 7 of Micah 3. Therefore, it will be night for you without vision, and darkness for you without divination. The sun will go down on the prophets, and the day will become dark over them. The seers will be ashamed, and the diviners will be embarrassed. Indeed, they will cover their mouths because there is no answer from God. They had pretended to speak for God, but God would confound them and make them ashamed. It would become evident that God would not speak through them. There are some people today who make the claim that God speaks through them and God gives them direct revelation. And today there are other people who claim to be led by the Bible, and what they do is actually contrary to what the Bible says. But self-serving deceivers will not give God's answer to questions that arise. Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 14 about these people who have hardened themselves against what God says and who do not take the proper care to say exactly what God says. He says of them, let them alone. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if the blind man guides the blind, both fall into a pit. Jeremiah said of them, Jeremiah chapter 23, several verses in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, Jeremiah said, not from the mouth of the Lord. In verse 21 of Jeremiah 23, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. In verse 31 of Jeremiah 23, behold, I am against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declare, the Lord declares. Behold, I am against those who have prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord, and related them and led my people astray by their falsehoods and reckless boasting. Yet I did not send them or command them, nor do they furnish this people the slightest benefit, declares the Lord. There were false prophets in Jeremiah's day, as there are false prophets today. Isaiah, in Isaiah 8, 19 and 20. Isaiah 8, 19 and 20, when they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they not consult the dead on behalf of the living? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because they have no dawn. Those who have no answer from God do not have any business declaring that their message is from God. They cause people to err. And fourthly, those who pretend piety. In verse 11 of Micah 3, her leaders pronounce judgment for a bribe. Her priests instruct for a price, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord, saying, is not the Lord in our midst? Calamity will not come on us, upon us. False teachers are always bold to claim God's favor. Many people are deceived by their pious words, as Paul stated in 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. whose end will be according to their deeds. In Matthew 7 and verse 15, Jesus clearly warned, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." He goes on to say in verse 22 of Matthew 7, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Paul to the Romans in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. Romans 16 and verse 17. "Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Jesus, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting." And so these warnings that Micah gives the people of his day can very much have an application to our own present day and our own present needs, and warnings that should be heeded for us today to be careful. To be careful that we would not be deceived by anyone. Then, God's true spokesman is full of power and justice and courage according to Micah 3 and verse 8. Here's what Micah records. "On the other hand," in contrast to those who are false, "on the other hand," Micah says, "I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and courage to make known to Jacob his rebellious act, even to Israel his sin." It took a person with that to speak the truth to God's people about their condition that was real and needed to be fixed, didn't it? His was a supernaturally revealed message, and that's what gave him his power. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, "For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." Nehemiah 9 and verse 30, "However, you bore with them for many years," he tells God, "and admonished them by your Spirit through your prophets, yet they would not give ear. Therefore, you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the land." His power was in being a message from God, God's truth. That's where the power was. It is a mistake to think that supernaturally endowed preachers had a more powerful message than, say, for example, a man who preaches from the Bible today. The same power is present wherever the truth of God is preached. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, to the Romans, and said in Romans 1 and verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." The gospel has the power. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Why is it a message that needs to be entrusted? Because it's a great responsibility. Because, as in the lesson this morning, truth is narrow. Because there are many false teachers out there teaching things that are not according to book, chapter, and verse in God's book. That's why the admonition is there. That's why carefully Paul tells Timothy to entrust what you have been taught to faithful men who will be able to instruct or teach others also. God has given us the same weapons for the same warfare that was happening when Paul gave this admonition to Timothy. We have those same weapons. And Paul calls them in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, divinely powerful. The greatest weapon that we have in this world is the Bible, God's Word. The sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6 and verse 17 is the Word of God. It's a sword. It's an offensive weapon. It tears down strongholds that are filled with darkness. It fights the spiritual battles among men. It defeats Satan and overthrows his snares and his temptations when it is exalted in the life of the believer. It is a powerful message, divinely powerful, to use the words of Paul. The most obvious and consequential difference between the true and the false spiritual leader is that God's man speaks his word, the truth. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 20, you will know them by their fruits. What do they produce? What do they show you? This is an identifying characteristic. You will be able to distinguish between the false prophet and the one who is real by knowing their fruits. In 1 John 4 and verse 1, John was careful to admonish the believers in his day to not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Not just a few. Many. Hence the seriousness of the responsibility for believers to be careful. The justice of the true prophet was in contrast to those who practiced favoritism. Courage is a word that's used in Micah 3 and verse 8. It is the type of courage that would be bold enough to denounce sin. Micah stood before the leaders of his nation and said, you need to repent, and if you don't, you're going to be swept away. It took courage to do that. Many times the prophets of God were tortured. They suffered great physical pain as a result of their message from God. And some were killed because the hearers did not like what they heard. So it takes courage. This is illustrated in his rebuke of powerful men in verses 9 and 10 of Micah 3. Here's what he said. Now hear this. Heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and twist everything that is straight, who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with violent injustice. Boy, that was a slap in the face, wasn't it? How often have preachers failed the Lord because they fear they might offend someone, some person of great influence, and they cower down and refuse to preach God's message? It is as much sin to fail to say what needs to be said as to say something that is false. In Ephesians 6 and verse 19, Paul says, pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in opening my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He's appealing to brethren to pray for him that he might have courage, isn't he? Isaiah 58 and verse 1, cry loudly, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. They needed to hear that. Paul before Felix, a great leader who could have commanded Paul to be put to death. Paul stood before him and was discussing righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. It took courage to do that. Felix could have had him immediately put to death or could have allowed him to suffer for about 4 or 5 days before he died for saying those words to a powerful ruler. People just don't walk up to kings and say, you need to exercise more self-control because there's a judgment coming and you need to live righteously. That was a great offense to many leaders of that time, just as it is today. Courage. Power, justice, and courage is how Micah spoke. In other parts of the book, Micah showed a positive message of hope for God's people. It wasn't all just repent of this sin, repent of this sin. God's going to destroy you if you don't. There are messages of hope in the book, but power, justice, and courage required also the denunciation of sin, just as it does today. Micah would have been no better than the false prophets had he preached a hope in God without repentance. You know, Micah could have done like many religious teachers do today and focus on the love of God and the mercy of God and His long-suffering character and how that God is so anxious to forgive everyone's sins that if you have the very inkling of an idea that you may have done something wrong, fall on your knees and God will take care of it. You know, it is a wonderful thing to contemplate the love of God, His compassion, His mercy, His willingness to forgive us. And we're not distracting from that or taking away from that wonderful blessing that is available to God in His plan of salvation. Not in a minute would we do that. But to preach that without preaching the whole counsel of God and warning against sins and declaring that it's time for people to repent, as Paul preached in Athens in Acts chapter 17, God commands all men everywhere to repent because He has appointed one who is going to judge the world in righteousness, and that's His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He raised from the dead. Micah would have been no better than the false prophets had he preached a hope available to people without commanding them to repent of their sins. When people object to God's word being used against sin, really what they're looking for is hirelings and false teachers, not preachers from God, not prophets from God, not the powerful message of the gospel of Christ. And that's a sad thing. There's an interesting commentary on this text in Jeremiah 26, 17 through 19, which shows the power of Micah's preaching and the kind of effect that it had on people even 100 years after its original impact. After it was originally preached, people still remember. They still remember. What a powerful prophet of God Micah was. And what good lessons we can learn from him. If you're in our assembly tonight and you're not a Christian, we bid you to think carefully about your spiritual condition before God. We wish we could say that God makes it easy for everyone and there's not anything you have to do or all you have to do is a little bit. We wouldn't be true to the book if we didn't tell you exactly what God said that you must do to enjoy the forgiveness of your sins and come into fellowship with Him. The apostles preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in that gospel they commanded men to repent of their sins and to be baptized in water for the remission of sins, as in Acts 2:38. Arise and wash away your sins, as in Acts 22, when Ananias came to Saul, and Saul needed his sins forgiven. He had been a persecutor of the church of Jesus Christ, and he needed forgiveness. He was to go into the city where he would be told what he must do. And Ananias came to him and told him exactly what he must do. Why do you tarry? Arise, wash away your sins through baptism. We can help you with that tonight if you're not a Christian and you're ready to, you've counted the cost and you're ready to become a Christian. We can help you We can pray with you and for you, for your strengthening in your faith as you live your life and prepare yourself to meet Christ in judgment and prepare yourself to have heaven as your home eternally. We can help you in another spiritual way to be stronger, to walk closer with God. We'll be happy to do that. Pray with you and pray for you. We'll be happy to do any of those things that will make you walk closer with God in the days ahead. If that's your desire tonight, please come and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.